Welcome to KMXT's Talk of the Rock, our local community affairs program, where we explore issues and organizations related to our community. Talk of the Rock is hosted by members of the KMXT news team.
Hello, and thank you for joining us for this week's episode of Talk of the Rock. I'm your host today, Dylan Samar. Joining me are Jan Chatto, Mike Sarofchuk, and Lori Madsen of the Kodiak Public Library and Kodiak Public Library Association. How are all of you today?
Very good. Thank you.
Fine, thank you.
So, would you like to take a moment to introduce yourselves and what you guys do with the Kodiak Public Library Association?
Well, I'll go first. My name is Mike Sarofchuk. I'm probably the newest member of the board here. I've only been on a couple years, and right now I'm the secretary for the Kodiak Public Library Association board.
Hi, my name's Jan Chatto, and I'm the former chairman, but right now I'm just a member of the board.
My name's Lori Madsen. I'm currently the director of Kodiak Public Library Association. Kodiak Public Library, sorry. Not a member of the board, obviously, because I'm directing the library, but been a member of KPLA, for many years. And I've been here in the position of director at the library for 2.5 years.
So could you tell me a little bit about the history of the board?
I could talk a little bit about that. Lori is far more knowledgeable than me, but on our website, we have a little section about the history. The KPLA is actually older than me. It was formed in 1953. And the idea was to build a local library for Kodiak. There was no library at that time. There was the library collection, but it was in a skid shack, and they wanted to get it into a permanent building. In 56, the library moved into a small shop building on the school grounds downtown. It was there for 8 years, but when the tsunami in 1964 occurred, it eroded the log foundation and the building was condemned. So in 1964, the Rotary Club purchased the site, deeded it to the city of Kodiak, and on December 8th, 1968, the A. Holmes Johnson Memorial Library was dedicated. It was named for a local physician. He'd long been a champion of library service in Kodiak, and he was also very active in the Rotary. And that building was down right beside the fire station, the current fire station. The building has since been razed. The original building cost $245,000, expanded in 1977. And a children's wing in 1984 and an Alaska reference room in 1993. But it was an old building, technology, growing collection, and a need for more space meant that it was time for a new library. And in 2009, a dedicated group of library patrons re-energized KPLA to work for the new library building. It took 3 years of fundraising and support from the city of Kodiak, the state of Alaska, and the Rasmussen Foundation built us the current library we have at 612 Egan Way. It opened in December of 2013. This is a fantastic new facility. and that's a real brief history of KPLA, actually, right there.
I should say, it is a very lovely building. I can see it from my window here. It's definitely nice to get a quick break in every now and again and get to stroll along the little grass patch that's just below the library. Beautiful view too. So, I suppose I ask this of everybody who's been on Talk of the Rock lately, but so I'll ask you now: how has the Kodiak Public Library Association's operations been changed by the COVID-19 pandemic?
Can I speak to that?
Please.
Well, of course, we don't have meetings in person. We Zoom like everybody else. So the board meets via Zoom. Also, we chose to not ask for any COVID because we felt that we were not, I'm getting a little feedback. Are you guys getting that?
You were cutting out ever so slightly.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Let's see if I can fix that. I'm not sure I can. Anyway, we decided not to ask for COVID funding because we're not a food bank. Our services are extra, and we've been very judicial in our savings of our funding. So we had a savings account that we could use if we needed to do any purchasing for the library. So we felt we wanted the COVID funding that was available to the city to go to essential services like food banks, et cetera. So that's kind of, but we still have done some, and some of our major fundraisers, which we'll talk about, have been postponed, shall we say. The big one being the Kodiak Library Association's book sale at Crab Festival. We just couldn't do that with COVID. So does anybody else want to add something, Mike? Did you want to?
I would just build on what Jan said. Our main fundraising are in-person sort of fundraisers with book sales. We do the big Crab Festival book sale. We usually do a smaller book sale down at the brewery. We've done things like volunteer at the library when cruise ship passengers come to the library for free Wi-Fi. And we have a tip jar there, and those cruise ship passengers have been very generous in contributing to the volunteers that are there to help them hook into the Wi-Fi and actually answer questions about Kodiak and that. And so all those in-person, face-to-face sort of fundraisers have had to stop. And so that is kind of the reason we asked to be on the show today, is that we're trying to do a little bit of a membership drive and see if we can generate some funds through memberships and donations to continue our financial support for the library.
So I suppose then, tell us a little bit about the what people will be contributing to if they join as members. What is the mission of the Kodiak Public Library Association?
It's pretty simple. It's and it is on our Facebook page as well as our website. KPLA supports the library's programs, services, and collections through fundraising efforts and events, including book sales, book swaps, and outreach. And you can be a part of all this simply by becoming a member of KPLA. It's pretty straightforward. We're just here to help Lori in any way that we can, mostly financially, to make that library just one of the best libraries in the state of Alaska, I would say.
I wanted to point out, there are things that crop up in the budget that Lori hasn't, you know, it's not on her main budget. And she will come to us and say, by the way, are you interested in helping fund this? And this is why I think, for instance, just recently, she had the idea of very nice, sturdy pouches for sending books to other libraries, because instead of the packaging and boxes, these are reusable pouches. And we thought environmentally that made good sense, time-wise for her staff. And so we said, yes, we would like to purchase those for you. Another thing, she came to us recently, she had the idea that with COVID, you're going to need to do some outdoor activities, which we all saw with the beehives and how there were a lot of activities outside. But there was no place to sit down and write for the kids to write in their journals, things like that. So she suggested that she would like some very sturdy picnic tables in lieu of the lounge chairs that are out there now, or maybe in addition to, depends on where she sets them. So we said, sounds like a good idea to us. That certainly wasn't in her budget, but we could do that. So we said yes, and we helped fund that. So that's the kind of thing. And also, I'm jumping ahead here, but that's the kind of thing we do.
So, how have fundraising efforts typically gone for the Kodiak Public Library Association, and how have they been modified by the COVID-19 conditions?
Do you want me to speak to that?
I sort of mentioned that briefly earlier on. You know, most of our fundraising was face-to-face. There's that large, wonderful, multi-purpose meeting room in the new library. I still call it the new library. And we used to literally fill that room with donated used books. And then over Crab Festival, over the 3 or 4 days of Crab Festival, just sold those books. We had probably hundreds of people coming in purchasing books. And I can't remember the number, maybe Lori knows, about how much money we usually make at Crab Festival, or maybe Jan knows offhand.
It's in the excess. Oh, go ahead, Lori.
It seems to me it's between $2,500 and $3,000, depending on the number of books, and especially if it's raining, because people want to go inside.
Right. So that's a really big fundraiser for us. And then, as I mentioned, we also did a smaller fundraiser, I don't remember what time of year, down at the brewery, where we just took a few hundred books down and set it up. And that's one of my favorite fundraisers, because it's kind of nice to, there's nothing better than drinking a beer and looking at books.
I can see the appeal. Please continue.
One of the other things that we've done as far as fundraisers, when people want to use the library and sell something, for instance, if you are an author and you wish to give a talk about your book and sell your books, we have an agreement. We'll help you handle that, and we'll take the money and we'll help set it up for a percentage of the sales. And the authors or the people selling something, 10%. And they agree to that. So that's another little fundraiser. And we're more than happy to do that. The library cannot do that. They do not sell anything. So we can do that. And we have also a little used book cart in the library that one of our members, former board member Gretchen Wing, was really, really good about keeping that refreshed. She would go out to our storage unit that was donated by Reed Oswald, and she would get some books and refresh that constantly. So that was a nice little fundraiser for us too, which she cannot do anymore in terms of the time in the library, and also used books that have been handled. We don't want those in the library right now. So that's stopped, but that's a good little fundraiser, and a lot of work that Gretchen puts in for that, for sure.
So a bit about the memberships. How much are they? Where can people get them? But outside of that, what are other ways that people can contribute to the mission of the Kodiak Public Library Association?
Well, let's start with ways you can become a member. There are several different ways. One is you can go to our website, which is KodiakPublicLibraryAssociation.org. And you'll see several different ways that you can contribute just by clicking online there at the website. Another way that you can become a member or donate is Pick, Click, Give. Very popular program here in Alaska, where you contribute a part of your permanent fund dividend to nonprofits, to charities, and so forth. Another way, and this is one that's, we're trying to get the word out a little bit more, is a lot of us purchase things from Amazon.com. And if you go, you can go to Amazon, but if you type in smile.amazon.com, you have the option of Amazon donating a small percentage of the cost of whatever you purchased to the nonprofit of your choice. So when I purchase something from Amazon, I know that Amazon is then.
Yeah, we seem to have lost Mike.
You're frozen, Mike.
I'm not sure he can do much about that.
Well,
go ahead, fill in, Lori.
Well, the Amazon.com allows you, the Amazon Smile. If you log in at Amazon Smile, then you can. There he is.
Welcome back, Mike.
Okay. And then Also on our Facebook page, we have links to our website and also ways to become a member. And I'm not sure actually if we have membership levels at this time.
I was going to ask about the Amazon Smile. So it sets up a percentage that goes to nonprofits. Would people make those out directly to your organization or?
Yes.
I see.
Yes.
That wouldn't get you a membership necessarily, but it's a nice way of accumulating.
Right.
And Amazon's contributing to that. Whenever I purchase from Amazon, I always put in my Smile. KPLA is my choice of nonprofit.
Right. And it's Amazon that's making the contribution, not you. Yes. So if I buy $100 worth of books on Amazon, although I should be using the local bookstore, if I buy $100 worth of something on Amazon, there's some percentage of that Amazon computes and they make a contribution equivalent to that percentage to the KPLA. So it's not coming out of my pocket. It's coming out of Amazon's pocket. So,
and another thing, we're just going round and round. That's okay. There are forms. There are actual membership forms available at the library. They're on one counter when you walk in. And you can just ask for one, fill it out right then and hand it back or mail it back. And also, one of our board members, Marty Sager, designed a cute postcard that talks about KPLA, which will be going out in the mail right after the show. We kind of waited to put them out. So people who want to donate or become members, that gives them a reminder and a way to do that. So we're pretty happy to get postcards that Marty designed out to people. And they'll be going out in the mail tomorrow, probably.
But you'll only get one of those postcards if you're already a member or you're on our mailing. So if you'd like to get a postcard, now would be a good time to go sign up to be a member. Or if you don't get a postcard and you really want to help support our mission, we've already listed, you know, the website and the Facebook page. But Dylan, you also asked the question of how people in the community can help support the Kodiak Public Library Association. We're always looking for volunteers. To do various things. And I don't know if Lori wants to speak to some things that volunteers might be able to do at this time. That would be good.
Sure. Some of the things, well, I imagine if you had projects in the background that could be done, but also I'm thinking when we've had garden parties, the volunteers have come in. Jan is like the best volunteer ever, but we have, usually we have a spring garden party and then a summer. Basically, we clean up in spring and then summer we're planting again in the fall. That is one way people have volunteered. With our being closed right now, we have not had volunteers in the building. We're trying to keep our, I guess the word isn't footprint, but our contacts as small as possible. So we haven't had too many volunteers come in the building. Occasionally, like for example, we're doing some Christmas and holiday decor right now. We could have used volunteers if we thought about it to cut up felt and things like that. But there have, like last summer with the bees, we had great volunteers painting the beehives. Ani Thomas did a fabulous job of getting our bees going with Judy Kidder. And they had a lot of volunteers helping with that project. So, you know,
literal beehives or?
Yes. We had two honeybee hives out back. We even bought a bee camera so people could watch the bees buzz around. And they so children coming to the library could visit the bees. And we have what's called a story walk. I'm changing the subject a little bit, but one of the things we have currently at the library around the outside of the building is a children's picture book that's at each page is printed on various windows around the circumference or the diameter, whatever, the outside of the library. So kids can read a story and go from window to window and do a story walk. So that was incorporated as a part of our beehives this past summer and volunteers were used then. So this time of year, our volunteer force isn't quite as in demand also because of social distancing, but come spring, there's always outside things we need help with.
But another thing, I kind of cut Jan off there, so I'll be real quick. Another thing is We have a couple donation spots for used books around town, I think mainly cost savers right now. And although we have a member of the board handling that, it would be wonderful if we had a couple of volunteers who'd be willing to just pick up books, pick up donation books, and take them out to, we have a storage unit that, as Jan mentioned, Reed Oswald has donated to us. Well, we could also use volunteers to kind of go through our books that are in storage. Sometimes we have books that aren't suitable or just aren't worth trying to resell, and we look for ways to recycle or dispose of those. So we certainly could use volunteers. At the time that we're able to go back to our in-person book sales, we'll definitely be looking for volunteers to help us with loading books up, hauling them to the library, putting them out, helping to sell them, manning the cash register, and then packing them up, taking them back to storage when the book sale is finished. So that's certainly another way that volunteers could get involved. At least even right now, we could use a couple just for picking up the used books and taking care of the storage facility and so forth.
I was going to add to what Mike was saying. One thing we're developing under the leadership of our new chairman is Brian Himmelblum, is the concept of having committees that are not just board members. In other words, he's made a list of some good committees that we can have members join us in those committees. There's a listing of about 8 of those, I believe. And we'll be developed, Brian wants to develop those committees, like finance committee, a committee to look at our bylaws, maybe rewrite those. They've been in place for quite a while without any revisions. So you don't need to be a board member to be on one of these committees. And through the website, we're hoping to update that. There'll be opportunities for people to join those committees. And I was going to add, I would like to acknowledge everybody that's on the board. I have the list because we are now at a full 9-member board, which is what we want. So we've got Brian Himmelblum as our chair. Mike is our secretary. Pat Szabo is our treasurer. And then just general board members, me, Marty Sager, Sandy Piotter, new board member, Mary Lynn McFarland, new board member, Carol Osterman, and Roberta Ostring. So we've up to full strength now, and there'll be opportunities to develop these committees. We've been kind of struggling with membership of the board for a while. Now we're up to full capacity, so we're happy about that.
Well, that's good to hear. Is there anything else to go into as far as telling the story of the Kodiak Public Library Association?
I might mention that it's such a great story, and there's so much to it. If you'd like to keep up with contemporary KPLA, if you go to our website, KodiakPublicLibraryAssociation.org, we have a place where you can subscribe to receive updates from the KPLA. You could just put in your email and submit it, and then when we send out any sort of newsletters, updates, and so forth, we can you can get that in the email. And also, you can follow us on Facebook if you want to kind of keep up with what's going on. And we do have monthly meetings. If you were interested in attending our monthly Zoom meetings, you could send an email to kplaalaska@gmail.com, I think it is.
Okay. kpla.alaska.
Yeah.
kpla.alaska@gmail.com.
And I was going to mention, if we're still talking, some of the neat things that have happened is when people are traveling, they will often go to author talks. I did, and I just, on the spur of the moment, asked the author if she'd be interested in coming to Kodiak, and she said yes. And so that was something we, as an organization, sponsored, the visit from Pam Houston. But other people certainly have these connections to authors, local authors, statewide authors, and just doing that personal approaching those authors is something that members of the board have done in the past, and it's worked out well. So that's always something. And helping out with, when we get in person, we help out with the Santa, pictures with Santa, not a fundraiser, just helping out. And that's always fun. So there's a lot of things that when COVID is finally at bay that we can do again.
So it's been wonderful to talk about the Kodiak Public Library Association, but I think it's also prudent if we get a little bit of information out there about the Kodiak Public Library. So Lori, could you tell me a little bit about what the operations are like in not pandemic times and how the operations of the library have changed in the face of COVID?
Oh boy. Well, prior to St. Patrick's Day, we sponsored a monthly dinner and a movie where we showed movies, usually new ones. People would bring their dinner and we'd show a movie and serve popcorn. That was a monthly event and other events. Mike mentioned our multi-purpose room was constantly in use. We've had things there like quilt making classes. Different organizations have used our facilities in that way. But library-sponsored events, we, in addition to dinner and a movie, we did a thing called Traveler's Talks, where people like Mike or like Jan, who traveled to exotic places like Iceland or Bhutan, would bring their slides, and they'd show their slides and tell the story of their travels. And I have some of them captured. I just have to post them online, because now we are not allowed to have any gatherings. We're only allowed to have 8 people in the library at a time. And our study rooms are closed, but we're making the most of a bad situation in that people are very thankful that we're being safe. We are now asking a series of questions related to travel and COVID exposure, just to make sure we're not letting people who should be in quarantine. People have been very honest, and we haven't turned away people except 2 this week, but in the past we haven't turned anybody away. People must wear masks and practice social distancing. And we clean after everybody comes in. We're disinfecting everything. That's a big change to become a cleaning crew. But as I mentioned, we're doing Zoom. I'm doing a trivia game, or like a pub style trivia quiz, every other week. We've got a good solid group of people who are enjoying that. It's a lot of fun. Currently with the holidays, normally another thing we did offer was we'd offer craft sessions, like how to make altered books, or how to make Christmas cards, how to make holiday cards. And we'd have, especially during this, when children were in school, during their break times, we'd offer these arts and crafts projects so that they could come into the library. Well, now, of course, we can't have those kind of gatherings, but we're doing a Zoom Monday. On Mondays, we're doing a home for the holiday craft session. So far, we've made recycled books, at Christmas trees, tie-dyed wrapping paper. This past week, we did a cards and quilling. Next week, we're going to be making felt ornaments. And then the final week on the 21st of December, Mondays at 2:00, we will be making gingerbread houses. We're supplying as many of the ingredients as we can safely. We ask people to bring their own glue and that kind of thing. But for the most part, we're providing them so that they're able to make 4 items, whatever it is. Yesterday, Agnes Sanjoyo, one of my assistants, did a marvelous job of teaching people how to quill. And so even if you can't make it to the Zoom meetings, we're passing out. And so it's been a real pleasure to talk with you today, and I hope people will call us and make an appointment to come to the Kodiak Public Library.
Certainly. Thank you all so much for joining us today. This has been the episode of Talk of the Rock here on KMXT 100.1 FM. Today I was joined by Jan Chatto, Mike Sarovchuk, and Lori Madsen of the Kodiak Public Library Association. Thank you all so very much.